Shalom everyone, and we are in Parashat Balak. A very special parasha. It looks like a story of fantasy. People like fantasy today. So the story is like this. We are in Bamidbar, the book of Numbers, chapter 22, verse 2. The last reading ended in chapter 22, verse 1. וייסעו בני ישראל ויחנו בערבות מואב מעבר לירדן יריחו. And the children of Israel traveled and they camped in the prairies of Moab across the Jordan in front of Jericho. That was after they had a battle with the two kingdoms of the Amorites, and they conquered the two kingdoms that attacked the children of Israel. The result is the children of Israel are taking this vast area east of the Jordan River from the north of the Dead Sea all the way almost to Damascus. Now, they took that over and now they're camping in front of Jericho on the east side of the River Jordan, so planning to cross the river and finally take over the Promised Land. Okay, so now that we understand the background, we are in the end of the journey. This is the last station in the journey of the Israelites before entering the Promised Land. וירא בלק בן ציפור את כל אשר עשה ישראל האמורי. And Balak, the son of Zippor, saw whatever Israel did to the Amorites. Who was Balak ben Zippor? He was the king of Moab. Now, if we're looking at the geography of the east side of the Jordan, so the Israelites were camping across the river in front of Jericho. South of them, this is the kingdom of Moab. So how did Balak see whatever Israel did to the Amorites? So we think he was sitting on the border, he saw it. But how did he see from there, you know? And the answer is as follows. Says, Rashi, the great commentator from the 11th century, and he says that he saw it, it doesn't even give it a commentary. However, the Zohar is giving a special commentary. And just to give us a background, okay? We know from excavations, from tradition, that the ancients were deep into magic. How do we know? All the excavations in Egypt, it was all about magic. The pyramids, all the temples, all about magic and black magic and idol worshiping. If we're talking about the Canaanites, wherever you dig in Israel and you come to the level of the Canaanites, you'll find all kind of tools of magic, black magic in every Canaanite house, in every room. Okay? Same thing all over Egypt, same thing all over the Middle East, same thing. Okay? So what about if somebody wants to do magic? Let them do magic. People like magic, you know. Harry Potter, all this stuff, people like to do magic. The answer is black magic is not good for you. Black magic is not good for you. Why? Okay, we spoke about it last week. And we said the moment you do, what's the definition of black magic? Is when you use powers. I don't want to explain what does it mean, but when you use powers in order to control somebody else, in order to get something that doesn't belong to you. This is black magic, okay? Now, white magic is when you use spiritual forces to help others, like you pray for someone. Science explains that helps. Can science understand it? No, but this is white magic. When you pray for someone and it helps, and research is showing that it does help, even that person you pray for doesn't have any idea you're praying for him, still it helps, okay? So there were a lot of experiments about this in the last few decades. And let's go back. Balak ben Zippor. So the Zohar is saying, in the beginning of the Zohar of Parashat Balak, and it says as follows, Vayar Balak ben Zippor. And so, and Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all what Israel did to the Amorites. Says Rabbi Shimon, first of all, Balak ben Zippor, Balak, the son of Zippor, Zippor means a bird. The father of Balak did not have the name Tzipor, a bird. Ben means in Hebrew also the one of, which means he was the one of the magic of the bird. His magic was based on a magic that was called the bird. And that's why his name was Balak ben Tzipor. So we know. If we go into the story of the Egyptians and ancient other kingdoms, the leader of the kingdom had to be very much experienced in black magic. Why? Because he had to be stronger than his advisors, correct? If he was not stronger, they will just throw him over and take his throne. So Balak was taken to be the king of Moab, most of it because of his magical forces, his powers, or whatever. People believed he had powers. Okay, so what does that mean? So Rabbi Shimon Amar, so Rabbi Shimon said, Vayar, Mai Reya Chama, what kind of a seeing did he see? Reya Vaday Mamash Chama, and Rabbi Shimon says, he really saw it. What do you mean he saw it? Bemashkufa de Chochmata. He saw it in the eyes of wisdom, not in the physical eyes, but he saw it in his wisdom, the wisdom of his witchcraft. Can someone see through something that is not the eyes? The answer is yes. For instance, you know, once in a while, when I give a beginner's course, I ask people, how many people in the crowd had a dream and they saw something in the dream that happened a while after? It's about 10% of the population, okay? Which means, how could someone see something that didn't happen yet, right? Logically, impossible. Reality, it is possible because people see that, which means our logic is not valid. Invalid. Because reality shows that people do have dreams about something that didn't happen yet, that they, let's say even sometimes the probability that that will happen is slim to none, and it's still happening. Which means, how did I see something that never happened? And if it happens to 10% of the population, this is a lot, right? What about people having powers that they pray for something and it doesn't happen? This is power, as we said. People pray for, you know, a lot of experiments show that you pray, the groups of people pray for someone's health. And then, you see, against the control, the people that are being prayed for, they are less sick, they take less medication, and they heal faster. Okay? So, it does help. Prayers, believe me, it does help. Don't believe me, you know it's helping. Okay? So, don't give up on praying. Now, but there is a way that people can see stuff, and I don't know, but a lot of us met people that have the ability to see things that other people didn't see. Like, last week I bumped into someone and he looks at the lady and he says, oh, you had an operation on your uterus and something is there, there's a cyst. How does he know that? People do see, not everyone, not a lot, very few, but the moment it happens and you see it in every culture, in every religion, in every nation, nationality, in every, you see business people, you see workers, you see people of, you know, simple ladies, educated people, educated women with a PhD. And some people do have the ability to be clairvoyants. And some people make it as a profession. In the ancient world, and in some areas around this world, still today, people make it as a profession and people make a living from giving advices to people because they see what others cannot see. Now the question is, can we trust them? Because, you know, I know a lot of people, you know, they come to me with, they see stuff. And you know what? A lot of people that see stuff, do they see 100%? Especially when it deals with their own private individual life? And the answer is no. So how come they see, and what do they see? Says Rabbi Shimon, B'chama b'mashkufa d'chumotad. What does it mean to see in the eyes of wisdom? K'ma d'chtiv, as it says, if we look at Genesis chapter 26, there's a story over there about Avimelech. Avimelech was the king of the Philistines. And it says that Isaac and Rebekah, there was famine, and they went to the land of the Philistines, which is where is today the area of Gaza. Okay, and they went over there to Avimelech, and there was water over there. And when they came over there, Isaac did not say that Yitzchak, did not say that Rivka is his wife. He said, she's my sister, like his father said about his wife. And Avimelech, it says, Vayar Avimelech, Vayashkef Avimelech Melech Plishtim Bad Achalon, and Avimelech, the king of the Philistines, looked through the window, and he saw that Isaac and Rebekah, their husband and wife. How did he see that? Through the window? Okay? So the Zohar says, Rabbi Shimon says, that means window, it's a window of wisdom. When it's a code word in the Torah saying it's like an icon. You're looking through and you see beyond the physical reality. We have another expression like this, and you'll find it in the book of Kings, chapter 5, when Yael kills Sisera, was the head of the armies of the Canaanites. When Yael kills Sisera, and it says, Be'ad achalon nishkefa v'teyabev em Sisera. Through the window, the mother of Sisera looked, and she was crying, were weeping. She was weeping because she saw that he was killed. Okay? Ella, so what I mean, through the window? She lived, it looks like they found the city of Sisera. It was somewhere on the closer to Hadera. The battle was in the valley of Jezreel. There's no way she could see through the window. So she saw through her witchcraft, her crystal ball, whatever you call it. Some people have a crystal ball. Balak had a magic called the bird. And some other people, Nostradamus, if you heard about him, he had a bowl with the water and oil on it. Like different methods for people to see stuff that is not physical but did not even happen yet. Or it happens right now but somewhere else. So the physical eyes are incapable of seeing. Okay? Some people, they learn that in the university, they call them analysts. You know, every analyst can predict the future. No. Most of them, you know, when you ask them, how many analysts predicted the collapse of Wall Street in 87? How many predicted the collapse of that happened in America, in the economy in 2008? Very few predicted that, okay? So, but some people can see stuff, and you call it intuition, you call it whatever your name you call it today, but some people see things better than others. Some people have a feeling, some people really see it happening. And it's a debate. How does that happen? And you know what? Science is something to work on. We have time. Okay? But there's a lot of documents about it. Says the Zohar, this is a window of the wisdom from the edge of the stars. This is a code. What does it mean? There are many, says the Zohar, there are many windows of wisdom. You know, there are people who can see things and they can tell you, I see that that will happen and I see that that will happen and I see that that will happen. But what Rabbi Shimon is saying, most of these people, they see from the edge. They see just a glimpse. Something that it's not always accurate because it's only an edge. But it's called windows. Okay? It's called windows. Okay? And says the Zohar, Klomar sheyesh harbe chalon, there are many windows. Vechalon echad, yesh shekol hachokhma shura bo, but there is only one window that all the wisdom is in it. Who can use it, whoever can see the seed of the wisdom. But most of these people are clairvoyants, prophets, whatever you call it, mediums, psychics, there's so many names to that, okay? They have their own window they see through, and they see only an edge, okay? What that has to do with us, we'll see soon. Afkan, also here, Vayar Balak, and Balak saw, Bachochmashol, through his wisdom, through his own individual private window. Now, so what Balak saw? He saw in his witchcraft that Moses, when we speak about the fight between Moses and the Israelites against the kings of the Amorites, like all the kings and kingdoms of the Middle East of that time, they were using witchcraft. Okay, so of course there was witchcraft in that war. And the same thing, if you talk about the 10 plagues, Moses did not use high tech. He used higher tech, right? He used the power of the mind. And he was fighting the wizards of Pharaoh. So why would we think that would be different with the kings of the Amorites? And here we get the explanation. The Zohar says it was the same thing. Now, the Amorites, they were trying to cast a spell. It says that in the previous parasha, they attacked Moses and the Israelites. Now, so the Zohar says, how did Moses counterattack their attack? It's a method from Far Eastern martial arts. When somebody with a big force attacks you, never ever block him. Use his power against him. Moses simply said, okay, you guys want to charge me and to attack us with negative force. Where are you taking that negative force? They're taking it from their own windows. So Moses used a method. I'm doing it really short. What he did exactly with Pharaoh on the plague of the firstborn. He funneled huge amount of power towards their system, and that shut down their system. The result was they collapsed. Okay? When somebody is using a system of 24 volts and you connect it to 240 volts, there will be a burnout, and they were burned. What happened was, as Zohar says, Balak was doing his witchcraft at the same time to see what's going on, and his bird was burned also. So he realized that he cannot fight Moses with his witchcraft. He wanted an aid. Okay? What's in it for us? I'm not recommending to go to all kinds of psychic readings. Okay? But we'll see where it comes to us. Which is, it's astounding. So what does he do? Vayishlach, we are in Numbers 22, verse 5. Vayishlach malachim el Bil'am ben Beor petora. He sends emissaries to Bil'am ben Beor. Bil'am ben Beor was the biggest wizard in the Middle East of that time. He was like, he could have been the prophet for the Gentiles. But the problem is that sometimes half the truth is worse than the whole lie. We'll see. So he's sending to Bilam because he knew that Balaam is a very powerful, the most powerful warlock, could be a prophet, and he called to call him. And his message was, Hine'am yetzah Mitzrayim, a nation came out of Egypt. In a kisayit enaretz, they covered the earth, there's so many of them, and he's sitting in front of me. Ata lechana arali. Etam, come, let's do something together and let's curse that nation. Ki yatzu memeni, because they're bigger than I am. Ulai uchal nakebo, maybe we can beat them up, those people. Maybe we can drive him away from the land. Ki yadati, because I know et asher tevarech mevorach v'asher ta'or yo'ar. Whatever you will bless will be blessed, whatever you will curse will be cursed. That's what Balak sends to Bilam. וילכו זקני מואב וזקני מדיין. So verse 7, and the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian, there was a coalition between Moab and Midian, they went with charms, וקסמים בידם, with charms, ויבוא אל בילם, and they came to בילם, and they gave the message to Balak. And then listen carefully, verse 8, ויאמר עליהם, and he says to them, לינו פה הלילה, stay here for the night, ואשיבותי אתכם דבר, I will give you an answer in the morning, כאשר ידבר השם אליי, like God, but he is using the name, the tetragrammaton, Yud Kei Vav Kei, Hashem, the holy name of God that cannot be mentioned. Why? Because A, we don't know how to mention, B, it's too powerful for us. וישבו יוד קי וו קי, וישבו שרי מואב עם בילם, so they were with him, ויבוא אלוהים, but verse 9, ויבוא אלוהים אל בילם. Who comes to בילם at night? אלוהים, not יוד קי וו קי, אלוהים, not השם, but אלוהים. What's the difference? Because when we talk about יוד קי וו קי, השם, we're talking about the almighty force that, you know, the closest we can get to the wisdom and the light of the creator. Okay? The closest. Elohim is a level of judgment. It can be also other gods. So Elohim comes to Bilam at night and he says, who are these people with you? It's like, why? You're a god. You're supposed to know. No? But it was a trap. ויאמר בלעם אל האלוהים, he gives them the whole story. Okay? So then verse 12, ויאמר אלוהים אל בלעם, לא תלך עמהם, לא תאור את העם, כי ברוך הוא. And Rashi says, he gave him three answers. One, do not go with them. Two, if you will say, you just said not to go with them, I can curse him from home, right? Do not curse them. Oh, so I can bless them if you love them so much. No, they're already blessed. Stay out of it. So that's what he says. Do not go with them. Do not curse them. They are blessed. That's it. Stay out of it. Can there be a message that is more clear than that? Of course not. It's so clear. Stay out of it for your own good. Okay? So he tells that to the emissaries of Balak. And he tells, go to your land because Hashem, because Yud Kei Vav Kei does not want me to go. He's lying. He didn't speak with Hashem, he spoke with Elohim, which is a lower communion. You know, why does the Torah use different names of God? It's about different, you know, what is the level of the revelation that you experienced? Each name shows another level. And we spoke about it when he spoke about the book of Exodus, which is the book of names. But Balak didn't want to take a no as an answer. He said, you know what, I can bribe him. So verse 15, ויוסף עוד בלק שלוח שרים רבים. So Balak is sending more ministers and much more honorable than these, the first ones. Before they were the elders of Moab and Midian, now they are the generals and the most powerful ministers. ויבוא אל בלעם, and they come to בלעם, ויאמרו לו, and they say, so said Balak, the son of Zippor, don't prevent yourself from coming to me, כי אכבד אכבדך מאוד, I will honor you very much. כל אשר תאמר אליי, say, whatever you tell me, you know, you'll be the head of the coalition armies. Whatever you say, we will follow. We'll be your servants, we'll be your soldiers. You'll be the chief of staff. Come and curse that nation. So, verse 18, ויען בלעם ויאמר, and בלעם answers and he says, אם ייתן לי בלק מלוא ביתו כסף וזהב, even if Balak will give me his own palace full of gold and silver, I cannot go against the words of Hashem. To do little or big. But you know what? ואתה שבו בזה, sit over here, גם אתם, you too, this night, וידעה מה יוסף השם דבר עם מי, and I will know, what will Hashem tell me to do? Didn't you get the message before? which means stay out of it for your own good? Wasn't that clear enough? Do not go with them. Do not curse them. They are blessed. Okay? Wasn't that clear enough? And that night, God said, So Elohim comes to Bilam that night, and he says to him, "Im likol lecha ba'onashim kum lechitam." Those people came to call you, go with them. Which means, go ahead. Go ahead. You're not listening to me, huh? Go ahead. Ve'ach et hadavar she'adaber elecha oto taseh. But you will say exactly what I'm going to tell you to say. Ve'yakom Bilam ba'boker, ve'achvosh et atono. And Bilam gets up in the morning, saddles his ass, his donkey, female donkey, and he goes with the Vayelech im Sarei Moav, he goes with the ministers of Moab, with the dignitaries of Moab. Vayicharaf Elohim, ki olechu b'vayit yitzeh. So, Elohim sees that Bilam is not listening. He doesn't get it. Right? Sometimes you say, go ahead, and you mean, stay out of it. Didn't you get it, you silly, in the first time? By the way, spoiler, in the end of the story, Bilam is being killed. It cost him his life. We're talking about someone, a prophet to the Gentiles, that some say he was in the level of prophecy relatively to Moses. Does it remind you something? I hope so. We had the previous parashot, we had a parasha with the 12 heads of the tribes, the most holy and wise and smart people of Israel. They were on the board sitting with Moses. They were sent to the promised land to see, to tour the country and to see how it is. They came in, they came back. 10 of them were speaking only evil. Bad mouth, the holy country. It cost them their lives. They just died on the same day. Didn't they see it coming? The answer is, as the next week we spoke about Korach. Korach was a holy man. He had the Holy Spirit. He was wise. He was one of the people carrying the Ark of the Covenant. He was Moses' cousin. He was the richest person in the world. It was not enough. All of these people were really wise over here. And they're also very spiritual over here. But they had a wrong turn. They were not watchful enough, and they had some hurt or an agenda. They didn't catch it on time. The result is, as we said in previous parashot, when you do not realize that it's all about the heart, and first of all, you have to really focus on your midot, your attributes. First of all, you need to have a loving heart and a kind speech. If you don't do that, whatever logic you're going to get out when you're sour, when you're hurt, when you're hateful, or when you're lustful, when you feel lust, what your logic can't be trusted. As we say, you can't trust your judgment. You know why? Because judgment is always wrong. You need to have something that together with the judgment, you need to have mercy and unconditional love with the judgment to make it work. Bilam, with all his wisdom, he was flattered. He got a very precise message. Do not go with them, stay out of it. When he asked the second time, he did not expect. Why did you ask a second time? You expect a different answer, okay? It says, wherever the person wishes to go, that's where he's going to be led. If you really want to do harm, you'll find all the justifications to do harm. So if you really want to polish your wisdom, and you study many, 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 many books, and you study with many, many, many teachers, finally, it all comes down to one thing, the heart. And if you have no control over the heart, your heart can fool you. And our heart fools us around so many times. So on one hand, we can get the right messages, and then we'll over later on we'll be sorry about, because you know the message was on the wall. How come I be so blind? You know why you're so blind? We spoke about it before. Because it's all about the heart. When each one of us can focus in the heart, and how do I know if it's the right place or not? We said before in the previous month, the whole month we were speaking about it. It's all about love others as you love yourself. Not because it's a moral, ethical value. It's a survival issue. When I find within me love, you know, Balaam did not take no as an answer. He asked again. Somebody said to me, but Abraham did not take a no as an answer. He said to God, God, you're telling me that you're going to destroy the whole city and the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. What if there are 50 righteous people? He didn't take no as an answer. And God said, you know what? If there are 50 people righteous, I won't destroy them. And Abraham says, you know what? He knows the area. What if there are only 45 righteous people? For five missing, you're just going to make a big difference? And God said, no. He brings him down to 10. Isn't that Abraham does not take a no as an answer? What about Moses? God says to him, let me kill all of them. I'll make you a new nation. And Moses says, no way. Kill us, all of us. Erase me from your book. But Abraham and Moses were willing to sacrifice what they had for other people's benefit. They did it out of love. When you do it out of love, how do you know you do it out of love? Because at that moment, whoever passed by in front of you, you can only have compassion and acceptance towards them. You don't have to agree with them, but you love them. Because they're humans, they are the children of the Creator. Then you know you're on the right frequency. But when a person, it doesn't matter how wise they're being considered, how talented they are, and history is full of leaders and advisors who were so wise till the crucial moment came, and they were totally blind, like Balaam over here. He walked into his death, and he was blind. Oh, the story continues. And Elohim is upset that Balaam is walking. Vayitatzev malach Hashem, and the angel of Hashem stands there on the way to be his Satan. Satan means to stop him, to deter him, to delay. And he's riding over his donkey. Ushnei ne'arav imo, and he has two boys with him. Vatera atonet malach Hashem. So the donkey saw the angel. He did not, the big prophet didn't see, but the donkey saw. You know, animals see a lot of stuff we don't see. Why? The Zohar says they have no idea what they're seeing, so it can hurt them that much. It can kill us, so we have a protection mechanism better we don't see. So three times the angel stops him, three times the donkey stands there, three times Balaam is beating his donkey. The ministers of Balak are around. They're with him. Finally, it says, "Va'yiftach Hashem et pi haton," and God opens the mouth of the donkey. And she says to Balaam, "What have I done to you? Did I ever hurt you? I'm serving you all my life. Did I ever hurt you? I am your donkey forever, till today. Did I ever hurt you?" And he says, "No." And then Hashem takes the veil of the eyes of Balaam, and he sees the angel standing there with a sword, ready to kill him. And he bows down. And what's his reaction? "Okay, I got it. I'm going home. I got it." So he says, "Vayomer Balaam el Malach," verse 34. And Balaam says to the angel of God, "I sinned, chatati ki lo yadati ki ata nitzav likrati bi. I didn't know it's you. Now, if it's bad in your eyes that I'm going to curse the Jew, the Israelites, I'll go back. Just if you allow me." That's, you had a message so big as this giant angel and the donkey talking, and you still can't get the message. Says the angel, no problem. Okay, you talk about it later. Do you just talk whatever, you say just whatever I tell you. Vayishma Balak kiva Bilam, so Bilam is coming, and the story is like this, that three times they're trying to curse the Israelites. Three times he's trying to connect to that venue, the Zohar explains, of rage and negativity, because the world needs love and loving kindness, which is called chesed, and the world needs judgment. You need to love your children, but you need to say no. You can't just go to sleep wherever you want. You can't just get up whenever you want. You can't just eat all the cookies and all the cakes and all the chocolate and all the ice cream before you ate dinner. You can eat just a little bit after you ate dinner, right? It's like you have, and you know, kids need, when they are not having the boundaries, they're checking out, and when they can't find any, they go really crazy. They can't be happy. Same thing with people. Even adults, without discipline, they go nuts. They're not happy. People need discipline. People need yes and no. We need loving kindness, chesed. We need gevura, which is judgment and boundaries, in order to have any kind of whatever relationship or any action, you need to have both. Bilam was very smart, says the Zohar. He was so wise. He wanted to tune up to the source of judgment in the universe and to bring this overload of judgment over the camp of the Israelites. The Israelites have no idea that this is happening, but they are secured. He says, Matovu alecha Yaakov, how good are your tents, Jacob, Mishkenotecha Israel, your dwellings, Israel. Some of his, whatever he's saying, became blessings because he tried to channel negativity and he could find only positivity. Balak is furious. I brought you to curse them and you're blessing them. I could have given you so much kavod, so much respect and honor, so much money. Get out of here with disgrace. Not just that he came to curse and he did not curse. He came to get some honor. He doesn't get any honor. So Bilam is sitting there like, how did that happen to me? And then he realizes, right now, judgment has been turned off. The action of Moses and the Israelites, there was so much unity. There was no judgment to connect to. But you know what happens when there's no judgment? There's no discipline. There's no boundaries. So Bilam said, let me say something. You know, I know I messed up, but I'll tell you why. Right now, there's no judgment in the world. The Creator turned off judgment. Do you know what does mean there's no judgment? They can't say no. It's all about free love. Everybody's equal. No competition. Everything is like no boundaries. Whatever you can do, like you should do. You know what you're going to do? Says Balaam to Balak. You get the most beautiful girls of Moab and Midian, the princesses, and you send them into the camps of Israel to seduce them, to have with them, orgies and witchcraft and idol worshiping. They will not be able to say no. Right now the frequency is everyone is equal. Don't judge anyone. If somebody comes to your sister, you know, you're a married man, a woman comes to you and says, you know, sleep with me. Free love. Why? You can't hurt me. Sleep with me. Free love. Everything is free. Who says you should sleep only with one wife? You know, you can take me also. I'll get hurt if you don't do that. And that's what happened. The whole camp went off balance. He was right, Bilam. and a plague started because everything went off balance. People, you need, in order to be healthy, you need boundaries. You can't just eat. You love chocolate. You love ice cream. You love meat. But you, if you eat without discipline, you get sick. It's a message to us. We need to find always the balance. You need always to have things rationed by the boundaries of the worth, the real worth of it. Because if everything is the same, there's no worth to anything. There's no difference between somebody who's really working hard to become the best of the best and someone who doesn't try anything. Why would anybody try? What will anybody feel good about themselves if there's no worth to any effort? And we know people were created in the image of God, which means there is a scale. Closer to God, farther away from God. Who's closer to God? The ones are really working to overcome their negativity, their evil inclination. The more you work on your attributes, on your nature, the more miracles you make, the closer you are to God, and you realize that the reward is being closer to the light, and the punishment is to be farther away. But if you say, no, people might hurt, you have to treat them all alike. There are no scale of effort, and there's no incentive for anyone to excel. And society goes backwards. You have to teach your kids that if, you know, you cannot just, I hate you because you didn't bring good marks, but I really appreciate when you make the effort. You have to reward them for that. And then comes the final story. The final story, which will help us to understand, to see it's the same thing happening again and again, which means we have that same concept. And the end of Parashat Balak, there's a plague. People are dying like flies. And even one of the Midianites, the princess of Midian, she goes to this, one of the heads of the tribe of Shimon. His name is Zimri. She goes to him and she says, let's sleep with me. And he can't say no. And he goes to Moses and he says, why can't we all have like whatever we feel like doing? What's wrong? God is one. We all one. Everybody is a child of God. You can do whatever you want. And you were going now to kill people because they're doing that. That's not right. Chapter 25, verse 7. Vayar Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. And Pinchas, the son of Elazar, the son of Aaron HaKohen, Vayakom mitocha, that he rose from the congregation. Nobody knew what's going on. People were dying like flies. Moses and the other leaders were standing there and crying. They were in shock. They were also overwhelmed, had no idea what to do. The only one who knew what to do was Pinchas. Vayikach romach beyado, he took a spear in his hand. But it's a game of word. Romach is the letters Resh Mem Chet. Resh Mem Chet, you know, Hebrew words are also numbers. 248. 248 has a double meaning. It is the number of organs in the human body. It's also the numerical value, 248 of Abraham. Chesed, loving kindness. Vayavoch HaRish Yisrael, so he, with one hit with his spear, he killed Kozbi and Zimri, both of them, as they're doing what they're doing. Vata'atzar ha-magefa ma'bnei Yisrael. And the Kabbalists explain what he did was because of the goodness and the unity of the Israelites, when Balaam was trying to harness all the judgment in the world against them, it was shut down, the judgment, and they were saved. But now, he used it against them. Pinchas manually reactivated the judgment, and everything came back into balance, and people stopped dying. The plague stopped, and he saved the people. But you have to remember, he killed two people. He killed two people. But what we know, and the Zohar explains, Zimri was one of the heads of the tribe of Shimon. The tribe of Shimon, they were known as very violent people. He knew they were going to kill him for that. And he still was zealous with excitement because he loved the people more than he loved himself. He killed them, not out of rage, not out of anger, not out of zealousy like we know, religious zealousy that has no... He did it because he knew this is the law. This is how the universe... This is the only way you can reactivate judgment and bring back balance. What was the result? Pinchas was not supposed to be a Kohen. Why? When his grandfather Aaron and his father and his uncles were anointed to be Kohanim, he was already born. So he was not born to a Kohen because his father was not a Kohen when he was born. But at that moment that he stopped the plague, giving up his life for what? Out of love. Out of dedication for the... It's better that I die and the others will not. And this is something very special because when Korach said, I want to be a Kohen too, and he brought the whole gang of people wanted to be a Kohen too, he wanted the job, but he did not do what it takes to get the job. You know how many people try to get the job, but they're not willing to do what it takes? This is a curse. You know, I honor you for wanting the job. There's nothing wrong about wanting the job, but are you willing to do what it takes to win the job because you deserve it? This is so simple. When it comes from love, when it comes from dedication, when it comes because, why do you want the job? Because you want to serve the people. Aaron got the job because he served the people like no one else. Korach was not there to serve people. He wanted the job for the honor of it. He can't get the job. It doesn't matter what job. We have to be really careful because this parasha is the same thing that comes for the last month. Watch your heart. If you want to do something and it's not out of love, it's not out of mercy, it's not out of caring, your logic is going to fool you around. You see, these people were like greatest wise people in history, and they brought themselves to the abyss just because they did not watch their heart and they did not see, you know, whatever I feel right now is not going to take me to the right place. So how do you make a change of heart? So I said many times, if you had an animal or you watched animals, after the eyebrows, the skull goes right to the back. We have that, the forehead. You know what's this forehead for? This is the outside of the inner theater we all have inside. We all have movies, and we all showing ourselves stories and movies the whole day long. And the heart follows the movie. If you have a good movie, happy movie, your heart will be happy. If you have a miserable movie, your heart will be miserable. Your heart follows. So if your heart is following a terrible movie, change the movie. Show yourself a movie that fits the values of this world, of honesty, hard work, honoring others, loving others no matter what, unconditional love, because that's what connects us to the real truth. When you show yourself that movie, which means your movie is being screened according to the rules of the Torah, of what's doing, what's right, and what's good, then your heart will follow and it will have the feelings that will allow you to continue that direction. But if your heart is hurt and angry and upset, and the evil inclination takes over, and your heart dictates what movie to show, you're in trouble. We all in trouble. We all fall in that trouble, and it's a warning. We need to heal. And the only way to heal is to have positive movies. First, you decide what movie you're going to show yourself in your mind. That's a letter mem, moach, mind. Then the mind dictates the heart what to feel. That's lev, lamed. And then the heart, when it's positive, it controls the liver to function properly with low cholesterol. When you have it in that level, it's called moach, lev, kaved. Mind, heart, liver. Initials, melech. You are the king. You're royal. But if you let your heart to take you all these directions, then it's lev, moach, kaved, it's a lemech. A lemech is someone, you know, it's a loser. And if you let your liver, your anger to take over, that's a klum. That's a no one. That's a nobody. You're just a zero. And we all fall. All of these people fell. And when you fall, as we said in last week, Parsha, and the week before, when we fall, our emotions can get us to the worst sicknesses. When we are not turning them into positivity, into loving and kindness. Why? This is the law. This is how the universe functions. You can't, people with negative emotions cannot stay healthy for long. What can I do? That's the way it is. Do you want to be successful? You need to love other people. That makes your heart clean, and that makes your brain smart. Then you get the messages. Then you become a clairvoyant. When you connect to the light, you get the right ideas and you follow the ideas. But if your heart is in the wrong place, you won't be able to get the message. You will have all the right messages in your mind and you'll take the wrong direction to the abyss, to the oblivion. Be careful of that. Pinchas showed that here there is someone that did more than Aaron. Aaron was supposed to kill himself when the Erev Rav, when the people came to him and said, make ourselves a golden calf. Rabbi Zechariah says, the Zohar says, Aaron had to sell my dead body. They should have killed him. He should sacrifice. He did not. He said, I care for them. What if I die? I can't take care of the people anymore. If he's right or wrong, Pinchas was willing to give up his life for the people. He did it out of love, not out of anger. Otherwise, he could not become a Kohen. And you know what? Says Azor, he really died. When he killed Zimri and Cosby, he was willing to die. He took off. He died. But then a miracle happened. Says Azor, two of the greatest souls ever, Nadav and Avihu, his uncles, they died 38 years earlier because they saw the light in the Mishkan and on the dedication of the tabernacle, and they went in to the light and they gone. They came back into him and they resurrected him. Then his soul came back. Now he was three souls. And now his name, Pinchas, later on changed to Elijah the prophet. He lived for 700 more years on earth, and then he went on a chariot of fire to heaven. Why? Because he was willing to give up his life for everybody's benefit, because of love. Not because he hated the wrong. He loved the people. And he proved Korach wrong. Here it is, someone who became the high priest. And he was not anointed by Moses. He became by his own right. Because he, on one hand, knew how to connect to unconditional love. On the other hand, he knew how to put in the judgment in the right contained place. Real love is love with limits. That when somebody screams, water, water, you don't just come and drown him with a bucket of water. You have first to ask to find out how much water does he need. Maybe he's thirsty. So in this parasha, we learn an amazing thing. You know, people can be wizards, they can be wise, they can be... Moses did not know what to do with the plague. Only the person who's willing to give up his life just for the love of the others. He got the right knowledge what to do. It was the right thing in the right moment. Don't try it at home. All the sages are saying, that was one time. Don't kill people if you think that's going to save the world. It's not... was one time. Okay? However, the mind will follow the heart. And you have to put the right values from the mind into the heart so the mind will finally follow the heart. When you do that, you can fix the judgment, stop the plague. And many people, when they live in devotion, you see, Balaam, he died. Pinchas was resurrected, and he became a Kohen. This one was wise. He saw the truth, but he didn't want to follow it. His ego was too big. The other one, with the devotion of sacrifice, not sacrifice, getting closer to God by love, he created the energy, the strongest energy of healing ever, what is called balance. That's why the next parasha, Pinchas, is the parasha of healing. Thank you very much, and have a great week.